The landscape of jobs is changing now. You know, our parents were that generation where you had one job and you did it your whole life and you got the gold carriage clock at the end. But that landscape is changing. And I think that's really exciting that there are different possibilities and that age is not a barrier anymore. Like you say, with the lady who retrained in her 50s to become a lawyer, to come and work in the legal world rather than a teacher. Why not? Why does that now have to be a barrier? Hello friends, and thank you for joining me for the Way Forward podcast, brought to you by me, Fliss Goldsmith, and Co-Design Coaching, where we create your optimal life together. Today, I am so blessed to have the company of the lovely Susie Stanton. Susie, welcome to The Way Forward, and thank you for joining me all the way over in the north of England. I believe you are just over the river from Newcastle-on-Tyne, is that right?
Yes, and thank you very much for having me. I'm in Gateshead, which is just across from Newcastle, and the sun is actually shining today, which is good.
That is great. It's not here in Derbyshire. It's quite grey, but you know, we'll bring the sunshine to the day. We will do that. We will. So Susie is here to talk to us about making a major pivot in her work life and family life. But before we explore that in more depth, allow me to tell you a little bit more about her. Susie is a freelance copywriter specializing in simplifying SEO for small business owners to help them get seen online by the people that they want to do business with. She's also a mum to two beautiful sisters via adoption, and she's the editor of We Made a Wish Digital Adoption and Parenting magazine, which shares adoption experiences and resources to support those parenting children who've experienced early life trauma. Now, Susie spent 20 years in her first career, but then she made the bold, brave, and energy-demanding decision to go solo. So, Susie, I think the subject of switching careers or pivoting what you do to be fascinating, because it just simply terrifies so many of us, and yet we sit there daydreaming about the endless possibilities of changing job or making a difference in our life. So, can I ask, what was it that motivated you to walk away from that career after 20 years?
I don't think it was one specific thing, but I was a lawyer working for civil service, and lockdown, I think, changed a lot of things for a lot of people. My mum became quite ill. There was a lack of support at work and just a combination of those things. But more importantly, I didn't enjoy my job and I didn't want my kids to kind of see me going out to work complaining every day and kind of them thinking, gosh, work must be awful. So I kind of wanted to either just shut up and get on with it or change. And it just got to the point where I thought, I can't stay here anymore. I have to change. So on New Year's Eve, it was 2021, I handed my notice in, and that was that.
Wow, that must have been a really terrifying moment when you were actually handing your notice in to think, I am just stepping away from all that security and everything that I've known, but exciting at the same time, maybe?
Yes, and I think those are the two words I would use. It was very exciting, but utterly, utterly terrifying, because I was going from being a lawyer to writing, which is something, you know, I'd done some courses in. I've always written. I had the magazine by that point, but it was kind of like, what on earth are you doing? But I just thought, it's now or never.
Yeah, and sometimes you do just have to trust that intuition almost, that it is the right thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it sounds like there was a roller coaster of emotions. And as you say, you know, sadly with your mum not being well and lockdown and having your two beautiful children, there's a lot going on. How did you sort of manage that emotional roller coaster then?
at the time, first kind of year, I'll have to say, was a bit of a blur. We're just talking before I came on air about menopause, that kind of crept up as well. And I hadn't actually realised that a lot of what I was feeling while I was at work was perimenopause. I was having panic attacks and, you know, hot sweats and all sorts while I was in court. And I just thought, that's because I can't do my job. So kind of getting that addressed was what I needed to do in the first few months. So it was definitely a roller coaster, but I think the thing that got me through was thinking, you know, this is better for me, this is better for the family, and it will work. So I guess having the belief that it was going to be a rough few years, but kind of once I got through that initial part, it was going to be worth it. So I guess that's really what got me through.
Yeah. And I mean, it's really interesting you said about the menopause, because I think that, you know, anybody who experiences perimenopause and the menopause itself, as I can hold my hand up and attest to, that is a rough ride on its own. And again, we often gloss over it and sort of think that what's happening to us is a fault of ours, but actually it's down to, you know, something much, much deeper. And I think there's a lot of people that are talking about that more now, which is great.
And it's because I had absolutely no idea about perimenopause, what it was, you know, what the symptoms were, so didn't associate what I was feeling with anything to do with that.
No, because you like it's not talked about as much as, you know, other subjects are. And it sounds like you really sort of had to cling on to embracing the positives then through that initial difficulty. And I know I touched upon earlier that, you know, you've got your children via adoption. So you've got a beautiful family at home. I'm just wondering what making such an enormous change in your life, what was the impact on the relationships at home and the family dynamic?
It changed things a lot and made things, certainly from my point of view, it felt like things were a lot easier and a lot calmer, because although I only worked part-time when I was a lawyer, there were long days. So the kids went to kind of wraparound care, which whilst they loved it while they were there, they hated going and they hated me kind of being home late. So that was a massive thing for us, and it always felt like the days that I was at work were just, you know, close your eyes and hope for the best. So from a family life point of view, it means I can be there, I can take them to school, I can pick them up from school, and, you know, both of our girls, they're adopted, they are coming to terms with that and all of the kind of the issues and things that brings with it. And sometimes things come up first thing in the morning. It's either bedtime or first thing in the morning, certainly for our eldest, kind of wanting to talk about things and being upset about things. And when I was at work, you know, I couldn't be late for work. That sounds an awful thing to say, but I worked in a courtroom, so I had to be there for a specific time. So if all of that started before drop off at the childminders, it was just very, very stressful for everybody. Whereas now, if she needs me to be late for whatever, or if she needs to be late for school so that we can work things through, that's fine. So it gives the kids kind of the space to be able to talk when they need to. And I realise that that's quite a privileged thing for me to be able to do, because, you know, the vast majority of people, they've got a 9-to-5 job and that's what it demands. But I did have an option, and I just felt for us as a family, that was the best thing for me to do, so that I can be there when they need me, and work everything else around it.
Yeah. And I do hear what you're saying about the privilege of the position of being able to do that. But, you know, I think it was a very brave decision that you made, because it could have gone you know, in quite a different direction. You didn't know what you were going to be stepping into. And you did all that for your girls, for your children, to be able to have that space to work through those things that are coming up. And I could feel when you were talking that anguish about going to work and the sort of hope and pray that everything will be okay and not knowing what you're going to come home to. Because that's the thing, if you've had a long day at work, which takes its toll emotionally anyway, and then you're coming home and you don't know how everyone's going to be, it only takes something tiny for you to feel absolutely flawed, doesn't it?
And I think that's what kind of self-employment has given me, is the ability to do things on our kind of terms and on our timetable, whatever that is, on that particular day.
There's definite advantages and disadvantages, I think, to being self-employed. I mean, for me, I relish the freedom and the flexibility. As you said, with the kids, it's great that I can do the taking to school and the picking them up. And if we have to flex things time-wise, that's okay. But there are times that I miss, you know, the camaraderie of a workplace and somebody to bounce ideas off. And sometimes the responsibility of being self-employed feels enormous. You know, and you wish it was someone on someone else's shoulders. So, you know, I'd love you to sort of tell us what your experience having been self-employed for a while now is like.
Generally positive. I think perhaps starting with the negatives first, I don't think I appreciated how stressful it is getting work and not having at the end of the month somebody just throw some money into your bank account. I don't think I appreciated that at all when I handed my notice in and how stressful that would be. And there have been a lot of times when I've thought, what on earth have I done? You know, my husband's self-employed, so I was the one who had the regular income. And it just felt, some days I thought, you have been completely kind of frivolous by leaving. How ridiculous. But then on the flip side of that, other days, you know, it gives me time to be able to do everything that I need to do, and be a lot more calm and able to be there for the kids. Because at the end of the day, at the moment, my whole being is kind of to make sure that the kids are okay, because they've been through so much in their early lives. And that, for me, it kind of overrides everything else in terms of the downtimes of being self-employed. I feel for us as a family, the positives far outweigh that.
Yeah, I can totally understand that feeling of on a bad day, or when, you know, the workload's unsteady, you feel irresponsible. Like, I should have just stayed in that job because I know that the regular money would come in. But then, you know, when you stand back from that, quite rightly, you can see that actually your emotional health, your mental well-being has improved so much from taking that leap. And that just feeds into the whole family dynamic, doesn't it? You know, it supports their emotional well-being as well. And I think, you know, reflection is a really important part of any journey that we go on. And I wonder if you've spent any time sort of stopping for a moment and looking back and looking at today's version of you, and would you have any advice for, you know, yourself before you started your 20-year career? What would you say to that version of you?
I think I would say that don't look at your career as being kind of an upward trajectory, and that you have to follow the path that everybody else does. And I think for a lot of years, I did feel that, you know, my career, that was it. I was a lawyer and that was what I was always going to do. And I think kind of the seed was planted for me. It was probably about 15 years ago, a new legal advisor started work in our team, and she was mid-50s and she'd been a teacher. And I could not understand why you would leave a teaching career and then retrain to become a lawyer. I kind of thought, well, you know, your career is what it is. You stay in that career for the whole of your life, because that's what I'd been taught and that's what I thought a career was about. So I think telling myself, kind of my younger self, that don't think of your career in that way. Do what feels right for you. And if that is changing career or becoming self-employed, because I didn't even know self-employment existed when I was kind of thinking about what career I would like to follow. So I think I would tell myself that there are so many different options. Don't just get yourself in a kind of a box and feel that you can't get out. Because I think that probably would have made quite a big difference to me, thinking I can change, I can do something different. And when you start talking about it, you see that a lot of people do that, and that a lot of people change what they do as they change themselves, I suppose.
Yeah, because as we older. Yeah, as we age, we do change. I had a guest on a few weeks ago who was diagnosed at 40 with ADHD. And we were talking about work, because she said that she had felt all her life like she was rubbish at her jobs because she kept changing. But that is a marker of her ADHD, that she couldn't stick at one thing. But she'd come to a peace with it, because actually the landscape of jobs is changing now, you know. Our parents were that generation where you had one job and you did it your whole life and you got the gold carriage clock at the end. But that landscape is changing. And I think that's really exciting, that there are different possibilities and that age is not a barrier anymore. Like you say, with the lady who retrained in her 50s to become a lawyer, to come and work in the legal world rather than a teacher. Why not? Why does that now have to be a barrier? So I think that's really good advice for anybody listening, that it's not ever too late to make that change.
And that's really what I want my kids to grow up knowing, that, you know, you can do what you want in your career, and if it doesn't work for you, you do something else, and that isn't a failure. That's just what you do, and that's life. Things change, and that isn't a bad thing. Because it was getting to the point when I was still in work where I felt like all I ever did was kind of, I'm going to have to go to work again. And I was very conscious that that's giving them the wrong message, because we all have to work, and if you can do something that you enjoy and is your passion, it makes such a difference.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. And you're right. Children, they model their behaviour on their parents, you know, and if we give out that feeling of, you know, work is a slog, work is something that we dread, we don't like getting up in the morning, we're moaning about it, which is understandable if you're not happy in your job, but they're going to pick up that that is what their work life is going to be about and that they have to do the same. But you're right, you know, work can be fun. It's always going to come with its hardships, but I would really like, if it's okay, I know this is sort of like a little sort of mini sidetrack, but it's not really. I would really love to talk about your We Made a Wish adoption magazine, because I know from knowing what you do through that, that it is such a massive support to families out there. And there may be people listening who have adopted or are thinking of adopting. And I just wondered if you'd touch on that a little bit for us.
When we first started thinking about adoption, I scoured the internet wanting to read about what adoption was like, not what you read about on agency websites who tell you, you know, at this point you do this and this is what the assessment is. That doesn't tell you really what it's like. And the adoption process is so different from becoming a birth parent. You know, you have to go through so many hoops and so many tests and show that you're able to do things. And I wanted to know what that was like, and I couldn't find it anywhere. So that's kind of what sparked the idea. Originally, I started a blog not long after our eldest daughter came home, just to kind of let off steam, but also to share what our experience of adoption was like, so that people who were thinking about it could read about it and think, yeah, yes, you know, that is really what I want, or no, it's not. And it kind of developed from there. When our youngest came home, when I was on adoption leave, I decided to really try and create more of a platform for everybody to have a voice if they want to about adoption, but also to get people who are experienced authors, a whole range of people who can help signpost adopters, really, and anybody involved in adoption to get the help and support they need. because there isn't really that much around. There are adoption agencies, like I say, and they have their websites and they provide support, but quite often it's kind of quite stale, if you know what I mean. It's not really portraying what adoption is like. And I think it is something that people feel quite often that they don't know how to talk about it because it's a bit of a taboo subject. And from my point of view, yes, adoption is extremely complicated and challenging, but it's also wonderful and brought me, you know, I'm a mother because of it and my kids are amazing, and kind of, I want to be able to shout about that, but I want to help people to be able to understand what the process is and that they're not alone in going through, you know, the whole host of feelings that people go through when you become a parent, however that happens. So that was kind of, that's the motivation for starting the magazine, so that people who are thinking of adoption or are involved in adoption have got easy access to a lot of information and support and kind of being signposted to other people who can help.
Yeah, I think that's really important because, you know, as you say, however you come to being a parent, the journey is emotional. I mean, there's changes at every stage. Just when you think you've got something sorted, that it pivots, it turns, because they're little human beings, and that's what life's about. But you know, obviously, I haven't been through the adoption process, but I know people who have, and they've really echoed what you said there about the fact that the information that's out there is kind of formulaic. It's very sort of this step, this step, this step. But actually, there's very little lived experience of that emotional ride that you go on, and how to look after yourself at the same time as looking after the children. Excuse me, and get that balance. So I think that's, you know, a huge hats off to you for doing that. Can you just, if anyone listening would like to go and have a look at We Made a Wish Adoption Magazine, which I absolutely implore you to do, it's amazing. Could you just tell them how that they can do that?
It's the website is www.wemadeawish.co.uk, and I'm mainly on Instagram, which is at We Made a Wish Adoption Magazine.
Fantastic. It's a really useful resource and something that I think will offer a lot of support to people. And, you know, that is all part of your working for yourself, because that is something that you put so much into. So I really wanted to touch on that. Just before we kind of round off, here on The Way Forward, we're committed to empowerment for our gorgeous, gorgeous community of listeners. And I'm sure there'll be lots of them today who have thought at one point or another about a big career change or a work-life balance shift, or simply just taking the time to analyse, you know, where next, what's next for me. So I'd love it, Susie, if you could offer them something that they could do today to begin exploring that idea of making a really impactful change for the best in their life.
I think the important starting point is to work out what success means for you in your career. For a lot of people, that will mean getting to the top of their profession, but it doesn't have to mean that. And I think that was, for me, that was the biggest stumbling block, thinking that success had to mean kind of the paycheck and everything else that came with that. But actually, taking a step back now, success for me means having a more balanced home life, and having enough money so we can go out for tea and not kind of worry about where the money's coming from. If you'd asked me that, you know, what does success mean in your career 15 years ago, I wouldn't have said that. But I think if you want to start thinking about changing and how you can do that, that's a really good starting point to work out what success means for you, and then kind of work back from that to work out how you can achieve that.
Yeah, and I think quite often we have a sort of socially prescribed idea of success. Like you say, it's about earning really good money, or it's about having the status of a particular job title. It's about keeping up with your peers in your friendship groups. But actually, you know, what you've just said there is a hugely salient point, that success is actually a really individual thing, and it changes as your life goes on. It certainly has for me, you know, with the chronic illnesses and disabilities that I have, you know, success is now a very different picture than it was when I was 20 years old. And I'm certainly glad that I have made the changes that I have, but it isn't without that, you know, emotional roller coaster that we talked about, you know, at the beginning. So I think that that is a really helpful point for anyone that's listening. So I will put your social handle and also your website into the show notes, Susie, if anyone is interested in looking at the Adoption magazine, and also, you know, contacting you if they have any needs around their SEO for their business, if they're already in that arena. Is there any sort of final thought you want to offer before we round out today's amazing episode?
I think just follow your dreams. That's the kind of guiding principle that's got me to where I am today. And I think it's something that we can all do well by.
Yeah, I think that is a really lovely point to end off on, because you are living proof of the fact that if you do follow your dreams, you can achieve that balance, that emotional place of safety and joyfulness that you are looking for. So I can't thank you enough for sharing your time and experiences with us. But that is it for today. No, you're so, so welcome. And anyone listening, if you're ready to prioritize you and work on anything relating to your emotional well-being and empowerment in a fully supported way, just head over to my website. It's codesignwithfliss.com, and we can talk more about achieving the future that you hope for. Thank you so much for listening. Now we know more about changing career and living the self-employed life and how to cope with it. And now we know the way forward. Hello friends, and thank you for joining me for the Way Forward podcast, brought to you by me, Fliss Goldsmith, and Co-Design Coaching, where we create your optimal life together.